You're listening to the CCA Podcast.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for representing a great cross-section of the body of Christ in North Seattle. You know, Jesus prayed for this day. I think you're probably familiar in his high priestly prayer on the night that he was betrayed. He prayed this. He said, "I do not ask on behalf of these alone." Okay, these alone, that means his disciples who he was praying for right then. "I don't pray only for these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their words." That's us.
Yes.
He was praying for us 2,000 years ago, and he said this, "that they may be all, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." This is groundbreaking kind of stuff that's going on here. You see, when we come together and we're unified in the body of Christ, it's not just for our sakes, it's not just for us to feel good, it's an apologetic for the Christian faith, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So this is kingdom material that's going on right here. And so, Father, we pray as Jesus prayed. Let us be one. Let us be one. Let us be unified in Christ Jesus so that the world may know that you sent the Son. That Jesus is the one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The name of Christ Jesus our Lord. And we glorify him and we magnify him in unity here this morning. Amen.
Jesus, we give you the glory in this place. Oh, we give you glory and we say your name is worthy of our lives. We thank you that you're raised to life. You're raised from the dead, and we thank you. You've atoned for our sins. Lord, you've died. You bore the curse in your own body that you might become a curse for us in order to give us life everlasting and raise us up with you. God, we thank you. We have received so much grace. And we are here today to declare that, God, your name is powerful. That, Jesus, your name is powerful in this city. And that you are saving people by your grace, transforming us into your very image. Jesus, would you get all the glory out of this gathering today? God, would you turn our eyes upon you afresh to see how beautiful Jesus really is? And I pray today, my prayer today, God, is that you would raise up a people in the city of Seattle, right here in the north of Seattle, who will image your name to the world. Yes. That we will shine your glory because we've seen you. And so today we pray, God, open our eyes, open our heart to see you afresh, that we may glorify your name in all the earth. And all God's people today said,
amen.
They all said,
amen.
Amen. They all said,
amen.
Give him glory. Let's praise him one more time.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Jesus is alive. God is so good. I don't know about you, but this was a big taste of heaven this morning.
Yeah.
If you want to know what the new heavens and new earth are going to be like, this is a little bit of what's going to be like. Brothers and sisters unified in Christ. We're all brothers and sisters. And so it's good to see my family this morning here in North Seattle. Good to see you all. My name is Perry. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the lead pastor of Every Nation Church here in North Seattle. And we want to take a moment, because we're all kind of new to each other here, to just greet one another with the love of Christ. So we just take a few moments, greet one another, say hello to your neighbor that you don't know, and we'll be back in just a few moments to continue our gathering. God bless. It is such an honor to gather together with you as God's people in North Seattle. We're here this morning to celebrate the unity that we have in Jesus, and we're here to celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive in our churches. He's alive in our city, and that he's transforming each of our lives and our city by his grace, by the gospel of grace. That's what transformed lives. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. This morning, in celebrating that we're transformed by grace, we're actually going to ask you to stand back up, and we're going to be reading from the Word of God. So go ahead and stand to your feet. We're blessed here in North Seattle to be a very diverse people, and we really celebrate that. We're blessed to have ethnic churches that actually meet in North Seattle. God has raised up and is making an impact in communities right here in North Seattle. And we felt it was right as the leadership team of the North Seattle gathering here to invite some of our ethnic church leaders to come and read some of the scriptures that have to do with being transformed by grace from their mother tongue, and then also have the translation on the screen in English. And so as we stand, I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves, their church, and then they're going to read a few scriptures that will be on your screen, because we believe that Jesus is after every nation, every tribe, every tongue. He wants a whole family worshiping him across the globe. Amen. And we are standing together to see Seattle and North Seattle transformed by this gospel of grace. So thank you for standing for the Word of God. I'm going to hand it off to my sister, and they're going to read for us.
Thank you. My name is Wasa, and I'm from the Methodist Fijian Fellowship Group, and we attach ourselves with Pastor Kai at the Living Way Foursquare. Thank you. And on the lesson in a singing course, I couldn't remember Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My name is Haptom Gebru. I'm from Eritrea, East Africa. We are the Red Sea in the Bible. We have 600 miles in the Red Sea. So my church name is Brian Hewitt Eritrean Church, Light and Life Eritrean Church at North Seattle. We are sharing the facility of Epic Life with Pastor Keith Carpenter. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to read in Tigrinya. I hope in heaven all of us will speak Tigrinya. Tigrinya is between Hebrew and Arabic. So we are, Tigrinya is part of Semitic language, very ancient language, Eritrean and Ethiopian language. So I'm going to read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Through 14 in Tigrinya. Ane kadam sarafin sagwagun gafa'an nere knesseis kayfaletku bzeim aman selezegabarku wo mihrat rakhabku tsaga goitana nisti ab Kristos Yesus zello emneten fqren bzeilik azaze. God bless you.
God bless you again. I'm Pastor Fino from Seattle Trinity Church. We gather at Epic with Pastor Keith. I came from a very, very tiny, tiny islands. I wouldn't even believe that I'll be standing here. By God's name, I'm here. Amen. So I'll be reading in my language, which is Turkish and Micronesian. Turkish Micronesian. It's a tiny island, like I say, but it was so wonderful. God is good. So I'm reading in Romans 5, verse 1 to 2, in my language, Turkish. Aba sa, pogidrabi non god, abi biya chakichak, obofakura purui. Jen e poreveri malavabi usun Christ a ezerigits o fagara marawan feridat we wasor mi but me e nifang mi ababai God. Thank you all. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Our great God, we bring you praise today for your holiness and your perfection. And we thank you for the grace that you have bestowed upon us, none of us worthy. But you find us where we are, Lord. You find us in our shame. You find us in our loneliness, our hurt, our disgrace, our fear. Whatever it is, you find us there, Lord. You meet us there. And the moment we say yes to you, you've already been saying yes to us. You love us. And you don't leave us like you found us. You pick us up. You dust us off by your grace. You transform us into the image of your Son. And that is what we want to be. We want to be like you, Jesus. And we thank you, God, because none of us deserve that privilege or honor. And yet, you have said, I want you to be like me. Oh, God, that even on this day, you would make us more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, my name is Amy Reardon. I'm from the Salvation Army. My husband and I are the pastors there.
We have the opportunity this morning to listen to one of my good friends, who I want to introduce to you, who pastors at Epic Life. But before he comes up, I'll tell you a little bit. We became friends because our churches are less than a quarter mile apart from each other. I moved to the city about 7 years ago. He moved to the city with his family from Minnesota 10 years ago. And he came and became my friend. It was a very lonely, coming from a coastal community of Aberdeen, moving up to Seattle. And the first couple pastors I met didn't know Jesus. And the second couple pastors I didn't really want to meet after that. And so soon enough, Keith came knocking on our door and said, I need you. We need each other. Let's begin to walk and pray together. And that's grown into now about a 5-year friendship in which we've cried together, we pray together a lot, and now we're starting to laugh together and get our families together. And it's fun to be able to have a brother that you can look to and just say, okay, would you pray for me? Would you lay hands on me? Would you challenge me if I need to be confronted in sin? Would you do that? And so that's the man that's going to be bringing the word to us today. So Keith, if you come up, I'm supposed to pray for you too. So he usually is wearing a hat. He has the coolest collection of hats any pastor in Seattle has, but we decided to both be bald today, so that was our common hat. Father, I thank you for my friend. God, I thank you that the Word of God has dwelled richly and deeply in him. God, I thank you for his church there at Epic Life, that God, you have knit them in to this group of churches here in North Seattle. And God, as he gives the word today out of Acts 9, I know it's something which we need in our heart. And I pray that God, everyone that's here would hear and respond. Lord, you're going to give us an opportunity to respond to you. And I just pray as he shares, God, let it sink deep into our hearts. Because God, you put us in this city for a purpose. And that his purpose is to see your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth and in this city. And so God, I pray that as our ears are open, our hearts are open, that you would fill them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Are you guys ready? Yeah. All right. What a blessing it is to be here, be part of this community of believers, and then to get to preach. I tell you what, I woke up this morning, just kind of jumped out of bed thinking, yes, I get to share the Word of God with the people of God. How amazing is that? And I just want to say that Kai and I are both bald right now. We don't have heads of hair like Jared and Perry. That is very beautiful of you guys. I love that. I have to say that right now this morning. What a blessing to be here this morning, to be part of this community and getting to worship God together. The worship this morning with different bands from different churches and just raising the roof off of this place in celebration is incredible and such a blessing. A mentor of mine a long time ago, as I was preparing to understand what to share this morning, a mentor of mine who is 80 years old told me once in his 80-year-old voice, he said, Keith, start from where you're at. What do you mean by that? He meant if you're following Christ, you're serving him, you're reading your word, you're in tune with God wherever you're at, whenever you're there, to start where you're at when God is sharing, wants to share something with you or has something or you're looking for something to share, start where you're at. So I'm going to start where I was at this morning, and that is in the book of Acts. I want to say there's four people here that I'm preaching to this morning, okay? Four of you. That's it. The rest of you can turn your hearing aids off, turn your... I don't know if anybody has those, but You can go to sleep for a little while. You can take a rest out in the... I'm just talking to four people, okay, this morning. This morning, my prayer is that God breaks your chains this morning. One of you is a man or a woman who does not know Christ as your Savior. You found yourself here this morning, and you have never been transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ. You have never experienced salvation. You don't even know what the singing thing is about because we're worshiping our God and our Creator. You need to be recreated. And God says that you are a new creature in Christ when you give your life to Christ. I'm also preaching to one other person. That's you, who felt yourself running away. You were the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter, whatever you want to call it. You grew up in the church. You know Jesus as your Savior, but you have run away, and you found yourselves in a pigsty someplace looking for scraps of food from the pigs to eat, and you are here this morning because God is drawing you to himself to be transformed by grace. You are being called to return to him. I'm preaching to one other person here this morning. And that person has been sitting in the church pews and seats for many, many years, and you are really, really comfortable. You need to be renewed. You need the Holy Spirit of God to renew you and bring you to something completely new you have never experienced or maybe did at one time. And you're sitting and you're resting in church. You're not giving, you're not encouraging, you're not serving, you're not producing, you're not doing what God has called you to do. It is time to be renewed by being transformed by grace. There's one other person here this morning. You are a man or woman who is on fire for God. You're serving him. You're giving everything you have. Your pockets are empty constantly because God says something and you give. God says there's an open door and you go through it. God says this and you do. And you are an action person in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's you this morning. But my prayer is that this morning God will reconstruct you as well. That you would find yourself at a completely different level of understanding grace and understanding faith in your life and understanding the testing of faith. Because an untested faith isn't faith at all. It's just a good idea. And this morning, I pray that you would either be recreated, returned, renewed, or reconstructed. This morning, I'm going to open the word to Acts chapter 9. And let's be very careful to realize about... As you're turning to Acts chapter 9, I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The enemy blinds us, the enemy grabs a hold of us, and the enemy keeps us down, but Jesus is our light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile jars of clay containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Anybody say that about their pastor? You really know them and realize they're nothing but a breakable jar of clay, and it's amazing the words that come out of his mouth on Sunday morning. Right? And you're transformed, you're listening. I have a wonderful, wonderful wife. I'll try not to talk about her too much. But one thing she says about me is that when she's listening on Sunday morning, she's listening to her pastor, not her husband. Praise God. Praise God. What I'm about to say, I know, please know, that I'm a broken pot, a fragile pot. And it should be obvious, as it was obvious to the disciples, that they had been with Jesus. I've been praying and dreaming. We as pastors have been praying and dreaming for the last few months about what this setting would look like and how we would speak and share to the people of God in North Seattle. So my prayer is that as you listen, that the Holy Spirit would speak to your soul this morning. Would you stand with me as we read Acts chapter 9? Just in honor of God's word, his testimony, his letter to us. This is Acts chapter 9, verse 17. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell off of Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and he was baptized, and afterwards he ate some food and regained his strength. And Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days. And immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is indeed the Son of God." Savior, thank you for your word to us. Thank you that as we read it, we can know that this is your word to us.
This isn't man's word to man. This is God's word to men. And thank you, Lord, for it. I pray that we would honor it this morning, and that as I speak, you would give me the words to say, and that long after people forget me, forget other pastors, forget your ministers, that people would remember you, and you would be the foremost front ticket all the time. So we praise you for your word, and I ask that you would speak in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So I've been looking at this passage for quite a while and understanding some things on this, and I just want to, if I'm going to preach, it has to be from the Word of God. It has to be from the text that God has given to us, and looking at this, there's a lot of amazing, wonderful things inside of this story as Saul's conversion happens, and he's minding his own business. In fact, he's doing something that he thinks is righteous. It's the right thing to do. He's going to persecute the church. He's going to persecute the church, and Jesus shows up and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul says, "Who are you?" And Jesus says, "I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting." And Saul is blinded by Jesus at this moment, and there's something that's placed on his eyes. Nobody knows what that is. People have tried to understand what that is. They call it scales. They call it something that's been put on his eyes. Something was put on his eyes. His eyes weren't disconnected. He didn't get damaged eyes. Something was put on his eyes. And as I'm reading through this passage in Acts, and I'm realizing something about blindness, I want to just talk about blindness this morning. I've missed this before. You know how you read through passages and you kind of read over it and you skim over it and you miss things? You go back and go, "Hey, what about that? What is this blindness? How is this blindness so important to us this morning? And how does blindness talk about grace? How does it talk about grace?" So it's really quick, but we see a few verses earlier that Saul was blind. When he came out of this bright light, this voice that was speaking to him, he couldn't see. And in that blindness, he decided to fast, because something miraculous, something crazy, something powerful, something radical was happening in his soul at that moment. He was blinded by the one that he was pursuing. He was blinded by the one that he thought wasn't real. Take that. He was blinded by the one that he thought he was going to put to death. Maybe he saw being put to death. He killed Stephen. He killed others. He started to go pursue the church. And now he's blinded by the very one who he thought he had been eliminating. Blindness. What is this blindness? The Bible talks about blindness all the time. Jesus is always talking about somebody being blind. He's always talking about somebody healing somebody who's being blind. He's always talking about the Pharisees who can't see. He always says stuff like, "Hey, if you have eyes, open them up and see and understand what's going on. If you have ears, open them up and listen." And so he's talking about this blindness all the time. And obviously in the scripture, the blindness is not necessarily a physical thing. In fact, it has very little to do with the physical thing. Blindness at the time was a really scary thing for people. It was very scary. There was, if you were blind, you were in trouble. You couldn't get food, you couldn't work, you were left to a life full of begging, sitting on a corner someplace, waiting for somebody generous to walk by. That was it. There was no technology, I just heard about blindness technology to drive. Scary there, but I hear it's happening, right? And so this is happening. There was no technology at the time, and people just had to sit, and they had to wait till somebody came by. It's really the ultimate idea about slavery, actually. You know, when slave owners wanted to really hold their people close to them, they would blind them. There was nothing like having chains of blindness hanging around your neck, right? Chains. They're heavy, right? And they hold us down. Blindness, the biggest thing about blindness, it's like a prison. It's like being enslaved, just like being shackled up and not being able to do anything. And Saul was experiencing that blindness right now. Blindness is a form of slavery. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, says this. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Jesus, who is the exact likeness of God, that Satan himself is blinding people from the good news of Jesus. It's a way for him to keep people in shackles, to hold them down, bind them down. Of course, when you have a chain around your neck, it's usually linked to something, so you can only go so far. Blindness is the same way. You know, you can only go so far if you cannot see anything. What is blindness? Well, there's a couple thoughts of blindness, I think. Blindness, is it really about not seeing, or is it seeing something other than the truth? Seeing what's real, but decoding it incorrectly? Seeing what's real, but visually impaired? Seeing what's real, but physically obstructed, willfully, or being put on us? Blindness. Well, there's a fantastic story in the Bible in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 talks about this guy. His name is Bartimaeus. You may have heard this story. And he's sitting alongside of the road because that's what blind people could do. All they could do is wait for somebody to come by. Some of you are in a place of blindness this morning. And I would say that all four of these things, all four of you are in a place of blindness in some extent. All four of them. There's no one here, myself included, that doesn't have some form of blindness, not being able to see past, right? And so this man, Bartimaeus, he was sitting in the ditch on the side of the road. And Jesus is coming with his entourage. He has people all gathered around. This blind man's ears were perceptive. He was hearing better than he ever could hear before. He was hearing what was happening. And he heard that Jesus, the miracle maker, the miracle guy, is walking down the road. And so he calls out, "Jesus! Son of David." And people are like, stop. Sometimes in our blindness, we're physically impaired. Sometimes we're spiritually impaired. Sometimes we're impaired because people have said, And not so much now. Don't get too radical on us. Don't believe that faith stuff too much. Come on now. Step back. You know society isn't going to like that. You know that what if we put that out there, society is going to be upset. Step back just a little bit. Stand down. Sit down. Be where you're supposed to be. Be blind. Be a prisoner. Be in chains. In fact, we'll help shackle you down. Many of us are in that place right now, and you can think of the people who have put you there and kept you there. Sadly, when Christine and I moved to Minnesota to start Epic Life Church, we had several people saying, not so much now, not so much now, holding us back. Blind Bartimaeus would call out again, "Jesus, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me, have mercy on me." Something was stirring in his soul. He knew who was coming by. He knew this was not just an average Joe who was walking down the street with a bunch of people. He knew it wasn't some rich guy or somebody who could give him money. This was Jesus who could do something more, maybe give him sight. He didn't deserve sight. No one else deserves sight. He didn't deserve sight like anybody else deserves blindness or not. He was just a man. That's how he was born, it sounds like, or whatever it was. And so we walk around thinking, oh, that guy deserves stuff. We actually don't deserve anything. The text is pretty clear that we don't even deserve grace. Wow. He was blind, and he called out. And Jesus said, wait, what was that? I heard something. I love those stories about Jesus. He's in a crowd of people, right? There's loud noise everywhere, and people are, touch me, hey, Jesus. And he goes, wait a second, somebody said something. Well, duh, we're all saying something, Jesus. Yeah, but somebody said something. Not just babble. Somebody said something from their heart. Somebody said something like, I'm blind and I know it, and you're the only one who can heal me. I need you. Transformed by grace. Well, Acts chapter 9, we have a couple characters here, and one being this Saul character. And Saul character was being transformed by grace inside of this moment. And what happened to him is pretty ridiculous, actually. Transforming by grace is a matter of gaining sight, seeing something for the very first time. Saul had seen, he's understood things for so long, he's understood the way his Pharisaical mind understood the world for so long. That's all he saw. It was blindness that were perpetrated by other people, but also perpetrated by the way he grew up. And that's all he could see. That was as far as he could go. His shackles were on, and that's as far as he could go. And Jesus broke those chains, right? He was in the moment. He was in the place of taking those chains off. dropping them. He was in the moment of this profound thing that was happening in his soul as Jesus was breaking the chains away from him. He was recreated in a really powerful way. He didn't know Jesus. He thought he did. He thought he knew the name. He thought he understood what was going on with Jesus, as many people do. But Jesus stripped away and recreated him. Ephesians 2, 4, that even while we were still dead to our sins, he gave us life. Romans 5, 8, while we still were dead in our sins, while we were still sinners, while we still had our back to him, while we were still blind, while we still had chains around our neck, while we were still saying, Jesus, I don't care about you, I just want to kill people around that love you, Jesus is pursuing us and did something in our lives for us. He was recreated. Paul knew what was going on. Verse 8 of Ephesians, God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't even take the credit for this. It's a gift from God. You can't boast in this, Paul. Just like Saul, just like you've said for many, many years, that boasting of your faith, of your religiosity, that boasting was nothing but shackles hanging around your neck. That's all it was. They were shackles, they were tying you back, and you couldn't see reality of Jesus, the King, grace. Grace. There's another man. Saul is being recreated. There's another man in the story. His name is Ananias. This is a dangerous man to the enemy. You know, Ananias came about this, and he was supposed to go tell Saul, hey, Saul, you're blind. I've got the solution. How great is that? How many of you, right, have had somebody come to you and said, you're blind in your situation right now, but I have the answer, and we have the opportunity to go, I want to listen to you. I don't want to listen to you. I know better than you. I don't know better than you. You know, Jesus comes to us all the time. He says, I have the remedy. I've broken the chains. You're not hooked up anymore. And then he gives us the responsibility of taking the chains off of our neck and throwing them on the ground. He actually won't do that for us sometimes. I mean, he doesn't break the chains forcefully on us. He doesn't come to us and say, you have to, you have to, you have to. He never does that to us. It's grace. It's grace. Here's the offer. Here's the gift. Now, please take the chains off. Ananias was this man of radical obedience. Dangerous obedience brought sight to another man. Dangerous obedience brought sight to recreate other people. This dangerous obedience that so many people are so unwilling to be part of is a dangerous obedience. But listen, a radical obedience does not gain respect of man until after you've come out of the furnace. It doesn't. Everyone in your circles are going to go, that's a little too radical, people. Let's calm down. Ananias, think about what he was supposed to be doing. He was going to walk down the street, step out onto that dusty street, step onto straight street, and go and encounter a murderer who is looking for Ananias to murder him. And he's going into that spot, and he believes in faith that Jesus Christ has sent him, and he walks down the street. Ananias was renewed. He saw something different. He dropped his chains, and he headed out. He headed down the street. He did something crazy. There's another person in this story a little bit different. The disciples that now Saul would go to, some different things are happening. As people are probably inside of that circle returning to Christ as well. You might be that prodigal son sitting in this room, that prodigal daughter. I don't know. All of us have been at some time. All of us have come to our dads and our moms spiritually, our God, and said, you know what? I actually know more than you. And I'm going to willfully bend down and lock myself up in the chains of disbelief. I'm going to willfully blind myself and turn away from you, turn my back and head down the road. I'm going to willfully do that. God's calling you this morning. And maybe there is disciples that Saul went out to, and he started talking to these prodigals, if you will. They were still the sons and the daughters of the king. They just needed to return. And Saul started preaching. He started saying, this is Jesus. I used to not believe it, but he's blown my mind now. This is Jesus. Come back. Return. The city of Damascus needs you. The world needs you. The people in America needs you 2,000 years from now. Come back, return, drop your chains. And then there was the other disciples. The benefit from giving sight that Paul received when he gave,
when Christ gave sight to him, was being able to see enough to lead the blind, to see enough to lead others. When sight is realized, discipleship needs to start happening. Our level of sight determines our level of acting on the appointments God has given to us. Let's say you're blinded. Let's say you're shackled up, and God says, go over there, and you realize your chains don't reach over there. What do? You say stuff like, God, you called me over there, but I am shackled here. I have blinders on, and I can't even see beyond that step. That step is too far for me. That step is going to require a transformation in my mind. God, you know I'm with you. You know that I want to serve you. You know I want to give as much as I can to you. I am in your family. I serve. I want to give more. I want to step off that ledge of fear where the miraculous happens. But I can't do it with this. I need you to break these chains. And of course, Jesus does it. Transformed by grace. The longer we're Christians, like this man up here, I was weeping during that video. The longer we are Christians, the more we realize how blind we are. The shorter time for Christians, we don't quite have that concept. We start understanding that grace is bigger, it's powerful, it's more. It transforms us more, and it will help us do more. And Saul stepped out with Ananias onto the dusty streets of Damascus, and he headed down the street, not to some little corner coffee shop where he could hide in the corner and read his text and hope somebody walks by and says, what are you reading? I want to become a Christian. He actually went down the street, and he passed the coffee shop up. He passed the market up even. He went right to the synagogue. Why is this important? Because the synagogue was the place that he was going to go to round up the Christians and kill them. He went to the leaders of the synagogues. And he said, this is who Jesus is. We've missed it. We've missed it. Kai was saying this morning, just a little bit ago, this is still morning, he was saying that he met some pastors who weren't Christians. There are pastors who have missed it. And they're worshiping a religion. That's it. No maker, no creator, no one who could transform us by grace. In fact, they have doctrines now in many churches, and I hope our churches are not like this. Our doctrines say, no, actually, the miraculous is done. There is no miraculous anymore. There is no being that can transform us anymore. That is not true. Because I keep meeting, you keep meeting people who you thought were the powerful, strongest person of faith that you've ever known, and then that guy does something different. That woman steps out in some different place, and you're like, wow, that was amazing. And they say, I didn't know I could do that. I stepped up to the edge of faith, the edge of fear, and I took the step because Jesus told me to. And I was transformed as I took the step of faith. And the miraculous happens, because that's where the miraculous happens. The miraculous happens where we can't see it. And he takes the blinders off and we go, whoa, there it is. The miraculous. Well, on that street with Bartimaeus, Jesus says, I hear your voice, Bartimaeus. I hear your voice. I hear your soul cry. Your soul cry. That's different than just I'm hungry. That's different than just I'm thirsty. That's different than I need companionship. That's different than I just want to see physically. That's different. He said, I hear your soul cry. There's something more going on here. He says, come here, Bartimaeus. And in front of this crowd, he grabs Bartimaeus, and we don't know how he does that. He just says, you are healed. You're healed. The next passage, the next thing it says is really important. Don't miss this. When you're reading the Bible and you get to the end of a section, don't jump to the next section right away. Read the end. There's an amazing thing that's happening in the story of Mark at this moment. Jesus had just, in the same chapter, if you want to put it into chapters, he had just told his disciples that he was going to die for the world. He just predicted his death on the cross. He walks forward, and this chapter is starting to walk towards Jerusalem. Jesus is on his motion, his moment towards Jerusalem for a specific purpose, and that is to die so that everybody can have their eyes opened up. Every chain can be broken. He had a purpose, and he was heading to Jerusalem in chapter 10. And so he heads there, and he starts talking. He talked to this rich man who came up and said to him, hey, what should I do to be saved? This rich man who was just as blind as Bartimaeus was. Wasn't he? just as blind. He couldn't see, he couldn't understand anything beyond money. He couldn't see anything beyond this paycheck, all this wealth he had. He was blind, if not worse than Bartimaeus. His chains were holding him down. And Jesus said, this is it. I can break your chains, brother. I can break your chains, son, if you just give it all away. And he says, whoa, I can't see that. I can't do that. I can't understand that. And he turned around and walked away. Jesus would be walking down this path as he predicts his own death. He would walk and encounter Bartimaeus. And then the next thing that that happens is he would walk into the city of Jerusalem in his triumphal entry. Men and women, when we receive the renewed transformation that Christ gives us, wherever you are this morning, when we receive that, it's like a triumphal entry of Christ into our soul. It's the fanfare, it's the excitement, it's the amazing Jesus who's coming in and taking over your heart. He's on a triumphal entry into our lives. When he could, this man, he didn't just say, thank you, see ya. He didn't just say, I can see now, I'm going to go get something to eat, I'm going to go work, I'm going to go say something to anybody. The next verse is him turning around and following Jesus. Following Jesus. Sadly, the word Christian has a really bad connotation now in America. Around the world, maybe even. So as we talk about following Jesus, being Christ followers, as we talk about the Church of North Seattle, the Confessing Church of North Seattle, we're talking about something different than just the term Christianity. We're talking about people who are willing to follow Jesus, who are willing to put their life, this man followed Jesus right into Jerusalem. I'm going to say maybe he went right to the tree and saw Jesus crucified for him. He at least knew it. What Seattle needs right now are men and women who are willing to follow Jesus, have our chains thrown off and follow Jesus. This is the work of Jesus Christ. We don't deserve sight, and we can do nothing to gain sight. Jesus breaks the chains of blindness, yet gives us then the freedom to throw them off. Let's face it. Just as if I walked around the city with these chains on my life, on my physical body, my life would be different, wouldn't it? Number one, people would look at me differently. Number two, it's heavy. I carried it up from that parking lot that's a half mile away. And I would be stumbling. I'd be weighted down and heavy with, you know, something called burdens. Blindness, slavery, chains, burdens. Jesus is here and said, I want to take those away from you. Those who receive their sight, they live differently. Just like I would live differently if I broke these chains off my body. When somebody says they've given their life to Christ and then there is no difference in their life, I'll have to call them and say, I don't think you understood what this meant. Because when Jesus enters, it's a transformation. Men and women, we can break every chain this morning. Every chain this morning. I just said that all of us are blind in some way. All of us. Who are your disciples? Who are you going to teach? You need to break away from what you knew before. I believe this morning, and we believe as pastors of North Seattle, that God is at the precipice of changing and transforming the city of Seattle. Like a giant death punch to the city of Seattle is North Seattle. We're coming in. We're going to take over as Christ followers and show the light of Jesus, the love of Jesus, and the grace of Jesus in transformation. So there's four of you this morning. Amen. There's four of you. Four of you this morning. There's four of you this morning that need this transformation. All right? Let's go. Let's sing. Come on. Four of you. I'm not talking to the rest of you. I'm just talking to the four of you. You need to break the chains. You need to take these off and drop them. And it's going to feel like you're flying. I did that just to keep everybody awake this morning. It's going to feel like you're flying. I know you're sitting here this morning. There are several of you who don't know Jesus as your Savior. My heart is in pain for you. Because when you can see and trying to explain what sight looks like to the blind, it is really hard. I want to tell you what sight looks like. I want to tell you what it's like to live in grace and to live by faith. I want to tell you what it's like to have a Savior who's part of my life, who transforms me, who's in my dreams and talks to me in the morning and is welcoming when I wake up in the morning and says, "Son, I love you, I cherish you, no matter what you do, I'm here." I want to show the blind that. Do you want to show the blind that?
Yes.
Oh. If you don't know Jesus this morning, take the chains off. He'll break them for you. He's ready. Call out your soul call. Your soul, "I'm blind, Jesus. I'm repenting. I'm blind, Jesus. I am blind. I need you, Jesus." And some of you have run, and you've run, and you've run. And you're out there, and you're running, and you're experiencing the ways of the world, the social world. You're afraid of the world, and you've run. But the beauty of that story is the Father is standing at the gate, and he says, "I still call you son. I still call you daughter. Do you take those chains off? Take those blinders off? You're in a pigsty, son. You remember how good it was? This is blindness that you did to yourself or the world did to you. Take it off, son. Daughter, take it off. Stop wallowing in the mud." There are those of you who have been sitting in the pew, and I think it might be most of us. We've been sitting in the pew for a long time, in the chair in church for a long time. We tithe. We show up to Sunday morning. We even do Bible studies once in a while. The church is full of people who are blind. They've become blind by comfort. They've become blind by staying on the platform of faithlessness, where I can take care of everything. I can massage everything. I can work more jobs. I can take care of my budget. I can do this and that. And you're unwilling to take a step over that. The sad part of you and the church that is inside of that realm of comfort, the sad part is you're keeping people back all the time. You're keeping saying, it's like, stop. Not too much, brother. Not too much. I mean, yeah, he's talking about faith, but not that kind of faith. Be careful. We don't want the church to look bad. Stop. Stay down. And it's the comforted of the church who keep people in slavery all the time. May we never be like that. Never. And you this morning, you know who you are. You're on fire for Christ. Oh, it's powerful. It's exciting. And you're like, "God, what is next? What is next? Take the blinders off. I'm ready to jump across the ledge. I know people are going to call me radical and ridiculous, and I know I'm not going to get respect of man until after the furnace, but I'm going. Tell me what to do." The city of Seattle is ready for a life heart transformation. It needs to be transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ, and God gave us the role to do that. You, I almost said my church's name, I'm so sorry. You, as the Church of North Seattle, the beautiful Church of North Seattle, you have been appointed to be the Church of North Seattle. Not your specific churches. Yes, your specific churches, uniquely involved in your neighborhoods and as the body of Christ. You are uniquely involved, and then together we're working together as the body of Christ. You have been appointed for the salvation of Seattle. I hope you realize that. Please don't think that your role is small and insignificant. No matter where you're from around the world, your role is not small and insignificant. Be the one who's on the front. You're pushing front and you're saying, "God, take me farther. The miraculous will keep happening to you. And people are saying, "What happens in your life?" And you'll just say, "I actually believe this thing by faith. I've been transformed by grace." We're going to have an altar call now. If you guys could bow your heads. I know some churches don't do altar calls, but I'm going to call you forward. Pastors are going to stand up here. And first, and I just want to say these pastors have given their lives for reconciliation of Seattle, Washington. Individual lives. They're men who are fully sold out. And when they realize they're blind, they're going to ask somebody to help them get those blinders off. This morning, if you would pray with me. Holy God, we just trust in you as your Spirit settles down onto our soul. I pray that right now there's a man or a woman here who have never given their life to you. I pray that this morning it would drop those chains from their shoulders and they would see light for the first time. They would stop holding on. They would stop holding on in pride and saying, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. Lord, release them. You've broken their chains. You're wooing them to yourself. I pray that in repentance, they would step out of their chair this morning and walk down here. And we're just going to do that as we're praying. Men and women, if this morning is when you need to give your life to Christ, I pray, would you stand up and grab a hold of a life transformation that will blow you away? I want to ask you to come forward this morning in that. I know that we're talking to a lot of Christians here. These pastors are ready to share the gospel with you in a way that you understand and you'll be able to grab a hold of. Holy God, move our souls. Transformed by grace. Grace. I'm going to ask the church to do something here as well. Men and women, I've called all of you out. We're all blind. If you need to change, if you need to get rid of some blindness, if you need to return, if you need to renew, or you need to be reconstructed, this morning is for you. We're just going to pause here. The Spirit is ready. The Spirit is willing to welcome you, to guide you, to draw you to Himself. So I'm asking you to be returned to Christ, to be renewed and be reconstructed. Would you take a step out as well? Will you come down and talk to these pastors? Come on. I know you're ready. This is the church. We know each other. We love each other. Just stand up and come down and ask these pastors to pray over you. Come on. You know that up on top, you guys, it's all right. It's a long ways down, but you can make it. Stand in line if you have to. It's time to take the shackles off, to drop the chains as he's already broken in your life. Stop picking them up and putting them back on your shoulder. Stop putting blinders on, but let those fall off this morning. Come and be returned to him, renewed and reconstructed. This is it. It's okay. It's all right. Find in your heart a way to put your pride aside and walk down in here. It's okay. And if you want to do that as a family, maybe as a husband or wife, maybe as brothers, sisters, these pastors are going to pray over you. Come on. Come on. Holy God, I praise you, Jesus. I praise you for this morning. Lord, I pray that you would break pride this morning. You'd break pride. There is no room for pride as we are seeing grace and salvation come to the city of Seattle. There's no room for pride. Break it. I pray that as we sit here in our seats, that we would allow the pride to melt away and just stand up and say, I want this different spot, Lord. I want something more from you. Break the pride, Lord Jesus. Holy God. Holy Spirit. You are King. Some churches might not have altar calls, and so this is a new thing for you. This is like a family gathering. And in a family gathering, we're going to care for each other and love each other. You're going to be cared for and loved for right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you know that you've been appointed for something greater, and you haven't grabbed a hold of it yet, when you come down and have somebody pray over you just to grab a hold of the appointment, the assignment that God's given to you in life. Maybe you're in this city and you hate the city of Seattle and you want to flee, but God has called you here for now. Repent of that and just allow him to remove the blinders so you can see. You have been standing in an habitual sin, and it's often, and it's not where you want to be, and you know it's bound you. Release those chains. Be prayed over. Be renewed. There's room up here now. You found yourself waking up in a bar again, in some girl's house, in a place you don't want to be, and you're ashamed of, and you know you've done it again as you run from the wisdom of your father and your mother and the saints. It's time to put that burden down and break those chains. Just walk forward in a sign of repentance before God. Come on, there's room. We can stand in line. There's room. If somebody else feels like you can get up and pray, please do that. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Jesus said the blind will see. The deaf will hear. The prisoners and captives will be set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sign of repentance. Romans 6:11 says that sin is no longer your master. Sin has been blinding you. Your pride has been blinding you. Your unwillingness to move into the neighborhood that God's given to you has blinded you. Sin is no longer your master. Strip that away.
There's no hiding from your face.
Hallelujah. Keep coming.
There's no striving in your grace. God of mercy. God Almighty.
Some of you are really close to standing up, but you haven't yet.
I
just want to encourage you, men and women, please. Allow the brokenness of Christ to get into you and break you. It's okay. It's okay. Bartimaeus was close to Jesus. If he wouldn't have called out, Jesus would have passed him by. Don't let it be close.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Jesus. We worship you. There's room. My old pastor used to say, there's room at the cross. There's room at the cross. There is room at the cross, men and women. Hallelujah.
Well, this has been an amazing day. And it's really sad to see it come to an end, right? It's like, and last year when we did this, there were some people who came up to the local pastors and said, let's do that every week. Well, if we did that every week, then we wouldn't spread the gospel around. You know, there are some churches that I've been in that have on the written on the back, and I've always felt like that would be a good thing for us too, that says, as you're leaving, it says, you are now entering your mission field. Well, that's what's going on. See, now we are now entering our mission field. And so it's my privilege to commission you in that. Jesus said that you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And it's the thing that's so crucial in that is you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's not about us. It's not about our ability. It's not about our capacity. It's about His capacity using us. And one of the most powerful illustrations of that is that the Holy Spirit is wind. And how many of you like to sail out here? And you know what the feeling is when you set your sail just right according to where the wind is coming from. As the wind blows over the sail, the wind actually pulls you forward. It's not even pushing you, it's pulling you forward. And that feeling of just being pulled forward with the power of the wind is one of the most amazing things. That's what Jesus wants to do. So would you stand? And these brothers, we're gonna stand together, right? Yeah. So we're just gonna kind of stretch out our hands over you as the church of North Seattle, at least a significant portion of it. And Lord, we bless this people of God in your name. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would empower them for the mission that you have called us to. And Lord, that we would experience in brand new ways the incredible power and grace of the Holy Spirit, speaking into people's lives with a precision like we have not known, because Lord, you're unfolding new pathways and new possibilities, all based on who you are. We throw ourselves upon you and we set our sails to your wind by your strength, by your power, by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.